The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Six podcasts here at the Fountains of the Bellagio, looking at the lovely Allegiant Stadium, Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas, between the 49ers and the
Chiefs.
There we go. All right.
Did you forget?
I'm Ryan Wilson.
By the way, we had our first fumble of the week.
Super Bowl?
Oh, my God.
It's called building suspense.
This is what happens. You've been in Vegas for 48 hours. Everything's a blur. You don't remember anything. Wilson, you need to go to bed early tonight.
Let me get this in before you continue to make fun of me. This hour is brought to you by United Airlines, so I got that one right. And, again, we're here at the Fountains of the Bellagio. I'm Ryan Wilson. Super friends, John Breach, Will Brinson, and the man who has covered the NFL for more than 30 years, Pete Prisco. Go ahead and make fun of me. It's like you want to say something.
Well, when they show the scenic, you're supposed to say we're here in Las Vegas. You froze.
I got the Las Vegas part right. I forgot.
I thought you were like pausing for dramatic effect. Somebody was in here like, hold. And you're like, I just forgot who the Chiefs were.
What's my name? Oh, I'm Ryan Wilson. We're here in Vegas. That was nice.
Here's the thing. I could have played it off, but you bums wouldn't let it slide.
How
so here we are.
How would you possibly play off that 30-second pregnant pause where you didn't say Chiefs?
All right. Well, here's the thing. We're doing bowl predictions and breach.
By the way, if that was me, you would have been worried. Oh, 100%. You said old man worried. 100%. Oh, man, he's having a moment.
And fun fact, I'm not that much younger than Pete, so fair enough. Here, we're in the same boat, Pete. Bowl predictions, the boldier, the better, because it's Super Bowl 58. And what's going to happen is we're each going to give two bowl predictions, and then the rest of us are going to grade those bowl predictions, again, on boldiness. So let's get this thing started. Pete, as the elder statesman and the wisest one on the set here, we're going to go with you first. I'm going to set this up. So your bowl prediction. Isaiah Pacheco rushes for 110 yards and two touchdowns. Let me give you some backstory to that, and we'll determine. The Fountains are a little nervous about this bowl prediction.
They come on when I tell them to.
Oh, okay. There you go. All right, so Pacheco.
Fountains.
Has not eclipsed 100 yards in six postseason games, so that's bold in that sense. No player has rushed for over 100 yards in the Super Bowl since Super Bowl 54, a rematch of this game. Damian Williams, who's no longer with the team. And one last thing I'll mention, only two Super Bowls have featured two players to both eclipse 110 rushing yards. I want to know, Pete, NFL historian, if you can tell me who at least one of these players were. I'll give you the Super Bowl, see if you can tell me who eclipsed the 110 mark.
Wow.
Super Bowl III.
Super Bowl III.
You know this, Pete.
Is that your first Super Bowl?
Matt Snell.
Matt Snell is it. He got it.
I was just kidding. I didn't think he knew it.
All right, the other one? Let me give you this. I'll give you the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 41.
Are you're forgetting the other guy from Super Bowl III.
Colton.
And he got the other guy.
Sorry. Do you know? Yeah, the other guy from Super Bowl III.
It was.
If you know this.
It was. It wasn't Don McCauley. It was. Wasn't Alan Ameet. No, it was. I'm trying to think of which Colton. It was.
Watching Pete think out loud should be its own show.
All right.
No, it was Don Bickle. Bill.
Tom Matt.
Tom Matt.
All right, and the other Super Bowl 41.
No, Tom Matty.
Tom Matty, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Super Bowl 41 was Colts Bears. You know the two running backs who eclipsed 110 yards?
Joseph Addai.
No.
No.
Wrong Colts guy.
Wait.
Dom.
Huh?
Dom Rhodes.
Oh, Dominic Rhodes.
Dominic Rhodes. And who was the Chicago Bear? Had a brother that played in the league as a running back as well.
Yeah, I remember.
Went to UVA.
Thomas Jones.
Yeah, Thomas Jones.
Thomas Jones. So, what are you stumping Prisco over here?
It's tough.
Well, I would have thought for a second, and it would have been bad TV.
So the Isaiah Pacheco Bowl prediction, again,
like 110
yards.
Like you on the intro.
Yeah. All right, not that bad. But, again, does this say to you that you think the Chiefs are going to lean on the running game because they've been pretty successful with it?
5.6 per rush against the last two games for the 49ers. They cannot stop the run. And, by the way, I made this pick last week without really doing all my analysis of it, and now I'm more than convinced that this isn't a bowl prediction. This is reality.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think they're...
So you think they're just going to... I mean, is it like that's how you beat the 49ers? Or is this a you block him, you beat him type of... Like, what's the analysis here?
It bothers me a little bit because I think you're taking the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hand. But I think when you look at this defensive line, Hargrave and Armstead have been blocked the last 2 weeks. They have not done a great job against the run. And when they don't do a great job against the run, Warner and Greenlaw, who aren't big physical linebackers, they're run and chase guys, get blocked. And that keys the run game. I think the interior of the offensive line is really good. I think they're going to run the ball. I think this is going to be a Pacheco game early, Mahomes game late, and then come back to Pacheco. I think he will rush for over 100 yards.
Well, we do ball predictions to start the season on the Pick Six podcast, and we do lean towards boldier. Both Brinson and Breach are fans of that, but there has to be some semblance of truth to it, Breach. So let's grade Pete Prisco's bold prediction: Isaiah Pacheco, 110 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns.
Well, I like it because it's not like Pacheco was running for 100 yards in every game. He only did it a couple times this season. He only had one game the entire season with multiple touchdowns, so that doesn't happen often. And you know, Pete's talking about over here where he doesn't necessarily love the prediction because it takes the ball out of Mahomes' hands. That's okay. Fun fact for you, Pete. The Chiefs went 15-2 over the past two seasons when they had a 100-yard rusher and Mahomes threw for at least 200 yards. So Mahomes didn't have to have a huge game if he had that rushing support. Long story short, I'm giving Pete a B+.
Oh,
I'm going to double down to the B+, too. No players rushed for over 100 yards in the Super Bowl since Damian Williams of the Chiefs.
Oh, you just said that.
I know, against the 49ers. I wouldn't pay attention to Ryan. But I agree with you. I think that they're going to try and pound the ball. I think this leans into the under as well if they're running Pacheco. And I think particularly the first half under, we talked about that earlier in the week, how maybe even look for like a 24.5 if you can find it. I haven't looked to see exactly what it is right now. But yeah, give it a B+.
B+ from you. Pete, I was going to give you an A+, and then you made fun of me, so I'm going to give you an A-.
Ooh. Okay.
All right.
Is that legal?
No,
we just make the rules as
we're
we go.
We're in Vegas.
That's true.
You can do whatever
nothing's
you want.
Legal here.
All right, next up for Petey. Chris Jones has 3 sacks. And let me set this up for you because, Breach, these are some crazy numbers, and this might be bold even by you and Brinson standards here. How many sacks do you think Chris Jones had in the previous 2 Super Bowls?
One.
Zero.
Wow, zero. I knew it was low, and I thought it would be at least one. Wow.
Most sacks in a single Super Bowl, my guy, LC Greenwood, had 4 in Super Bowl 10. Chris Jones does have 2.5 sacks in the postseason in 19 games. And a little more trivia for you by courtesy of producer Devo here, Petey. Players with 3 sacks in a single Super Bowl, there are 5 of them. Can you name one off the top of your head?
I have them on the paper. I would have named Grady Jarrett because he was my guy coming out of Clemson.
Better than team.
Huh?
He was on the better than team.
He was the captain.
Yeah.
And you can see there on the graphic, Coney Ealy.
He never forgot either.
The lone shining star in that Panthers loss.
Okay. Coney Ealy got sacks because of because they were playing from behind. Wasn't that? Yeah, he careered that day. Coney Ealy. He never lived up to it. Darnell Dockett was outstanding in that game. Reggie White. We all know that story. People don't remember Willie Davis. I was a kid, but I remember him. He was nasty. So,
let me ask you about Chris Jones, though, having 3 sacks. The beginning of the year, he was holding out for more money. That's quite the journey going from a guy. You figured at some point he was play. I know you're very – guys aren't going to hold out. They're going to show up at some point. He did. But I think it's amazing to get to where he started to where he is because he's been so important to the middle of that Chiefs defense.
Well, and it's not just the middle, because they put him on the outside now, too, and he can rush from the outside. I think he's the ultimate game wrecker. I really do. And he shows up in big games. You know, when we hear people say they show up in big games, does that mean you don't show up in the other games? Well, I mean, Chris Jones has a tendency to do that. And he hadn't had a great year this year. I'll be honest with you. He hadn't been the usual Chris Jones in terms of, particularly in the run defense. But I think this is the moment. He's a free agent after the season. This is the, you know, this is the highlight for him. Come get me. If the Chiefs don't want me and don't want to pay me, this is what you're going to get. So I think he has a big day. Plus, I think the
does
right side
have,
of the...
Does he have an incentive for winning the Super Bowl? Or he maxed out his incentive?
I think he maxed out.
He hit his back incentive at the end of the season and did a whole celebration.
Right, because the most important thing isn't the ring. It's the money.
It's the money. As Prisco always says, we're in Vegas, the capital of money.
But you want to lean into the money. He is a free agent. Right. And if he goes out and has a monster Super Bowl and has three sacks and they beat the 49ers, he's going to get real paid.
Feliciano at right guard. Good in the run game, not great in pass protection. McKivitz, the right tackle, okay. And I think they will take him and put him over there and take advantage of those guys.
All right, Brinson, give old PD a grade there. Jones has three sacks.
It's pretty wild that of these three sack games, two of the five have come in the last, 7 years. You know, that's crazy. I don't know that that's necessarily a trend. It may be a thing where we're just dropping back more, and you see that happen. But, you know, it's not like the, not like the Broncos are dropping back all that much. I'll give it a B plus again.
And two of the guys that have three sacks are interior rushers. Dockett,
that is odd. Yeah.
Dockett and Jarrett. They're not pure edge rushers.
Coney Ealy out of nowhere.
Prisco, I'm going to give you an S with a line through it because that's a dollar sign, like you guys said. Chris Jones is going to get paid big time if he meets his bowl prediction, gets the three sacks. The one thing I like about Prisco's prediction is that Chris Jones did not have three sacks in a single game this year. So he would be getting a season high. As Prisco said, he did struggle a little bit during the regular season. Brock Purdy only got sacked three or more times in four different games. No player got three sacks on him this season. So I like this prediction. I'm going to give it an A-.
Chiefs are number one in pass rush rate, both four-man and when they bring pressure.
I think an A-minus is the right grade, Breach. I will agree with you on that.
Yes.
Petey, you did pretty good. Better than you did at Arizona State, I would imagine.
Well, since I got all A's at ASU, I didn't get all A's here, so I didn't do as well as I did at ASU.
No,
you think I really got all A's? Come on.
A's for absent.
I don't.
No. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to move to Johnny Breach to do his grades right after this.
See?
Sports HQ. Pick this podcast.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Pick Six Podcast here back in Las Vegas, coming to you from the fountains at the Bellagio, looking at the Strip, lovely Las Vegas, Nevada. If I recall correctly, this is a Super Bowl matchup between the Chiefs and the 49ers, and it's the Pick Six crew live on set. Look at that. You can catch us all week long streaming on CBS Sports HQ. Come down to the Bellagio and see us live. Get your picture taken with Pete Prisco, Will Brinson, John Breach, whoever your favorite HQ talent is. All right, boys, we are back doing a little more bowl prediction. Pete Prisco had a good first segment, Breach, so a little pressure on you, buddy. But first things first, don't forget, stream wall-to-wall coverage with our CBS Sports HQ team of hosts, insiders, and analysis as they tackle the biggest storylines, interview the game's brightest stars, and keep you up to date with the latest betting odds and much more leading up to the best Sunday of the year. A few days away here. Breach, let's start with your bowl predictions. Brock Purdy throws zero touchdown passes. That seems pretty bold. Two games in 2023 with zero touchdown passes, according to research here. What leads you down this path, given how well he played second half of the NFC Championship game?
Well, I feel like he's played one good quarter against the Packers, two good quarters against the Lions, but there's definitely been some struggles here. We've really seen it in the first half of both playoff games. But this was really more of a Steve Spagnuolo thing. You look at the path the Chiefs have taken to the postseason. They beat Tua Tagovailoa and that offense. They beat Josh Allen and that Bills offense. They beat Lamar Jackson and that Ravens offense. So what you have is just a guy who was on a roll making these defensive game plan. So it's really been pretty amazing how well he's been doing stopping these
That's
quarterbacks.
Pretty bad what you just did.
Does my pun get an A grade? Yeah, so I think this is going to be a situation where Spagnuolo forces Purdy to struggle. And, Pete, as you know, when that happens, Kyle Shanahan doesn't always trust his quarterback in these big situations. And that's when you start handing the ball off to Christian McCaffrey a lot. So I think maybe they get two or three rushing touchdowns, but Purdy gets zero passing touchdowns.
I'm going to give that a B, okay. Solid B. And the reason is, look, he did struggle in those two games. People kind of forget that because he played well at the end, but he did struggle. So I give you a B, plus the Spagnuolo factor. I mean, this guy stopped Tom Brady when he was the greatest offense. Remember when Randy Moss and gang, he stopped that offense. And so I think Spagnuolo will come up with a lot of different looks. I also think Spagnuolo likes to play a lot of nickel and dime. They led the league in nickel and dime coverage this year. And so if that's the case, what are the 49ers going to do? They'll run it. So I'm with you. I like the bold prediction. I don't think it's really that bold, to be honest with you.
What?
I don't.
I will say this.
I was going to give it a D.
Zero touchdowns is not bold?
This is quintessential classic.
You don't even know what quintessential means.
That's a true point.
It's quintessential breach. It's the essence of breach. It's something that sounds bold but isn't really bold. He says zero touchdowns. You're like, oh, you're oohed and aahed by the magic of zero. But the reality is, it's not that bold. He threw one in each of the last two games. He's thrown zero plenty of times this year. And frankly,
that's not plenty of times.
He's been flummoxed by good defenses.
The more I think about it, I like it as a bold prediction, but I don't think it's that bold.
Let me offer some.
They played 19 games, and he's only been held to zero twice. That's a low percentage.
Let me support you a little bit, Breach.
Thanks, Brent.
The research notes here. Kansas City runs man-to-man coverage on 32% of their snaps, which is fifth most in the NFL. Brock Purdy versus man coverage has thrown 13 touchdowns and just one interception this season. So it's not like he doesn't excel against man, and it's not like Spags doesn't play a ton of man. So that's one thing. Brock Purdy against the blitz, and we know that Casey can get after blitz.
Number one in the league.
15 touchdowns, two interceptions. So I don't understand. That actually is pretty bold, unless Spagnuolo is going to suddenly start playing zone and mix things up, which they didn't do a lot of.
Who led the NFL this year in red zone carries?
Breach?
Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, my. How many times did Christian McCaffrey?
You can score touchdowns from anywhere on the field,
Christian McCaffrey,
Brenton.
Top five in the NFL in rushes inside the five. And Christian McCaffrey, number two in terms of rushes inside the 10. When they get in the red zone, they give the ball to Christian McCaffrey. You get a D. You can't change
your mind. I can't believe this. What a bad grader. I give your grade a D.
That's actually, I'm giving him an A. I think zero touchdowns. He was in the MVP conversation for 15
weeks. It's like you give every draft pick an A.
I'm glad I made this so divisive here. An A, a B, and a D. That might be the greatest range of grades we've ever had.
And by the way, you know what that spells? Bad.
Yeah, you walked right into that one, Breach. All right, next up, Breach is our unofficial and official special teams correspondent here at the Pick Six Podcast.
No. We're not doing any special teams. I'm on the show.
Prisco's off the show.
There's no way in hell we're doing special teams. They're kickers, Breach. Please, not a kicker, Rob.
Breach said last night.
Has Prisco ever done a podcast with me? This is all I know, Prisco.
The game could come down to a kick, so you sort of need the kickers. So, again, special teams correspondent. John Breach would have to have a special teams prop here. Harrison Butker, kicker for the Chiefs, makes the longest field goal in Super Bowl history. Breach, Peter's our resident NFL historian. Let's see if you're the special teams historian. Don't cheat. Current record field goal.
Oh, he knows.
Longest
he
field
knows.
Goal Super Bowl.
Steve Christie, 54 yards, Bills kicker.
All right, I'll double down on this one. Pete, I'll ask you because Christie's a little before.
Technically, Ray Finkel had a longer.
Where does Steve Christie go to college?
Whoa, that's a good one.
Is it William & Mary?
The College of William & Mary. All right.
He had a big leg. Steve Christie had a big leg.
Absolutely.
Great mullet, too. 89% of career field goals. Second best in NFL history for Harrison Butker. Hasn't missed this postseason. 7 of 7 in both PATs and the field goals breach. So, Can you put aside the special teams nature of this bowl prediction, Pete, and give
– No, it's an automatic F if you start mentioning kickers. They're all interchangeable.
Here, let me ask you this then, Pete. Let me ask you – let me phrase the question so that it becomes a coaching decision versus special teams play. You have Steve Christie with the longest field goal in Super Bowl history is only 54 yards. The longest field goal attempted in Super Bowl history is only 56 yards. Coaches seem risk-averse from attempting longer field goals in the Super Bowl. Why do you think that is?
You got to admit, the kicker's, you know, ability to make the long field goals is 10 times greater than it was 10 years
ago.
Well,
we still haven't seen anybody beat Christie's record.
Well, I think in the Super Bowl.
Okay,
right.
So
I'll give you a bold prediction. You say they're going to break the record.
Break the record.
That's pretty bold. I'll give you a B-plus for that.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I just don't want to grade something that involves a kicker.
Oh, stop it, Petey.
I'm going to give you a B-minus.
I'll take it. It's better than D.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. So your bold prediction – look, this is another quintessential breach bold prediction. It involves a kicker. It's a record that he can easily break if he's given the opportunity, right? Like, there's no chance. It's totally reasonable that Harrison Butker could kick it 55 yards if he's given the opportunity. The question is, will he get the look?
Some teams don't even try him when they got a chance to win a game or tie a game.
Well, I didn't want to tell
Dan Campbell.
I didn't want to tell Pete this before he offered his grade. Harrison Butker's long in the Super Bowl breach.
52.
So he's kicked it to a 52-yarder in the Super Bowl. So three more yards, he'll get the record. But it's a record. I'm going to give you an A, Breach. I'm team Breach today.
Of course you are.
Thanks,
yeah,
Wilson.
Of course you are.
He's a first-round pick.
I'm going to give Wilson's grade an A, too, because Wilson knows that he has yet to go.
Thank you.
Whereas Breach is guaranteed to give me one bad grade.
This is what is called Brinson game theory.
Right. Yep.
All right, we're going to take another quick break when we come back. Oh, Willie Bear, Brinson's going to be on the clock, get his bowl predictions. Right after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here's the comforting thought, Chiefs fans. Teams that won the first game of a Super Bowl rematch are much more likely to win the second one as well. The Chiefs and 49ers squared off in 2019, and Kansas City came out on top. That's great news for the Chiefs in this big game matchup, considering the winning team has taken the second contest against the same opponent 5 out of 7 times. What's even better, if those Super Bowls are within 3 seasons of each other, which this one is, that winning record jumps to a perfect 3-0. That's a statistic that should put your mind at ease, Kansas City Chiefs fans.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
There's beautiful Allegiant Stadium, home of the Las Vegas Raiders. And this week, home of Super Bowl 58 between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. This is the Pick 6 Podcast here on CBS Sports HQ, coming to you from lovely Las Vegas here at the Bellagio. Now, more bowl predictions. Pete got us up to a good start. Breach, I'm not going to lie, that was a rocky B block.
I'm still hurting from it. I took some strays.
Well,
I don't know what to do.
Now we get to the
nothing stray about it.
The disaster coming up right here. I can't wait.
We get to the disaster coming up right here. Oh, Willie Bear Brinson. Now listen, Pete, you're not on these bowl prediction shows as frequently as the rest of us. And while John is quintessential breach, Brinson is quintessential it's never going to happen. And then every once in a while, he'll hit a grand slam.
I usually scare him, though.
That's exactly right. That's a great way to put it.
Like you're usually like, oh, my God, this jerk is going to be like going to end up getting this.
He's the guy that comes out of the halftime and gets – you thought he was going to make it, and it rims out for $1 million.
Back in 06, I bet on Devin Hester to win Super Bowl MVP. If we've been doing these shows, that would have been my bold prediction. He takes the kick to the house, and you're counting your cash, and then
– Yeah, that wasn't happening.
Right, exactly.
All right, so the bold prediction for Super Bowl 58, number one for Will Brinson. Travis Kelce catches 3 touchdowns, does 3 different Taylor Swift-related celebrations, and the addendum there is what always gets Brinson in trouble. Like the, okay, Travis Kelce, 3 touchdowns.
I thought about that earlier. I was like, why didn't I just do 3 touchdowns?
What was the other part?
Three different Taylor Swift celebrations.
Okay. Not one, not two, not
so
three.
Hold
on, let me set this up here. We don't want to grade it just yet. So, I mean, that's incredibly bold. The question is it realistic? Only one player, and Pete, I'll ask you as the NFL historian here, has caught 3 touchdowns in the Super Bowl. You know what it is? Did it twice. Once against, I don't want to give it away. Once against his dad.
Jerry Rice.
Yes.
So that's the only one that's ever
done it. Greatest football player of all time.
And he won Super Bowl MVP and stole it from my dad.
Yeah.
Greatest player, NFL player of all time, Jerry Rice.
I agree with that. Boomer Esiason has said that if Jerry Rice hadn't done that, that Jim Breach would have won Super Bowl MVP for the Bengals that year.
A special teams player, Pete, a kicker.
Hey, yeah. Won an MVP once, which was the biggest joke in the history of the NFL.
So Mark Kelce Rosley has 3 touchdown playoff games versus the Texans in 2020. 10 catches in that game, 134. Has won 4 touchdown game in his career. So, Pete, I'll start with you. I know you actually have.
Whoa. I'm going to box myself.
Oh, I'm sorry. You got to sell it to us. Sell it to us. You're right.
Yeah. So look, Kelce, I think. Well, one, I'm gonna note that I think he's gonna throw up the little heart emoji, the heart sign.
Is that a Taylor Swift celebration?
Yeah, it's a Taylor Swift celebration.
Okay.
He's also going to do a little bicep flex and then kiss the bicep, and then he's gonna throw up a 1 and a 3 because that's Taylor Swift's favorite number. Those are my guesses. I know
31,
13.
31.
Every Swifty.
Those are my guesses.
He's been canceled
for what he's gonna do. I don't want those to box me in on this actual prediction, but I do think that we'll see if he catches the 3, he's going to give celebrations to them. And I think that if, like, we both can't be right here, Pacheco probably not going to rush for 110 and Kelce catches 3 touchdowns. Although, I guess if they get the lead, they run it out.
Which is why I don't like your prediction.
Right. Well, that's fine. My thought process here is that Kelce hears the boos at media night. He hears they play with a chip on their shoulder. They did it last year. They talked about how no one believes in us, much like the Pats did with Tom Brady. I think Kelce comes out motivated. We've seen him the last 2 weeks really play some awesome football.
That's a D.
Jeez. Oh, my goodness.
You didn't even hesitate. You just gave him a D.
First off, if he scores 3 touchdowns, he's not doing the celebrations like you think he will. So that automatically.
Hey, he's done it before.
He's not going to do it.
Give 2 grades. If you discount the celebration
C minus
part.
And a D.
Oh, okay. Well, that is. All right.
He's not getting 3 touchdowns. And,
okay. Because well,
I think Pacheco's getting 2, so I'm not going to
That's fair.
They're not scoring 5.
It is a direct contrast with Pete's bowl predictions.
Right.
So it's my turn to grade.
Yes.
So you're betting the best pass catcher on the Chiefs has the most touchdowns.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
He's not even going to be setting a Super Bowl record because he's going to be tying something that already happened.
Angry Breach is here.
Not bold at all. He's already had 3 touchdown catches in a playoff game before. I'm going to give it a C.
Oh.
But on the Taylor Swift part, I'm going to give it A+. So I'm going to give it a B- overall.
Oh, you were too good. You were too good to him.
There we go. That was very kind of you.
Yeah, like I don't know. I can't name one Taylor Swift lyric. I know there's the songs and stuff. I don't know about the celebrations. 3 touchdowns seems reasonable. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, so that does give me some concern. But you know what? Because, Pete, I love everyone. Brinson gets an A-.
There we go. Yeah. Now we're talking.
I actually love the Taylor Swift part, Brinson. I'll
be
honest.
He doesn't get anything worse than an A, just like his draft grade.
It was creative and somewhat possible.
Love him.
Love his pick by the Texans. It's like,
love him.
It's a 7th round.
Love him.
Hey, Isaiah Pacheco, 7th round pick.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. next one up for Brinson here. Christian McCaffrey breaks the record for most Super Bowl receiving yards by a running back, which is currently held by James White, who had 110 yards for the Patriots.
In an overtime game.
In an overtime game, worth noting, by the way. Also worth noting, in 2023, the lowest receiving yards per game in his career, 35.3 yards. Yep. So that does make it bold.
So but he has three games in his career with 110 receiving yards, and his first career playoff game at 101 receiving yards. And the idea being here, Pete, that when you're grading this, you got to think about the fact that if Pacheco runs well and scores, or Kelce catches the three touchdowns, these are sort of correlated because the Niners are going to have to throw the ball a ton, dump the ball off a bunch of McCaffrey, think they're passing a lot and hitting him with short passes to keep the pressure off of them, and that's how he gets there.
Yeah, I give that one I'll give you a C on that.
What's wrong with it?
Because I don't think I think they're going to run the ball. I think he's going to get.
Even if they're trailing?
I don't know if they're going to be trailing. I think it's going to be a close game, and I think they're both going to run the ball. I think he's going to run the ball, so I don't like your problem.
Man, you're a real running back guy, aren't you?
This game, I hate to say it.
Weird.
Pete is not grading Brinson on a curve. That is for sure. Look, 110 yards would be impressive. He did not top 80 receiving yards in a single game this season. Brinson, man, as much as I want to give you a very low grade because of what you gave me, I'm not a spike grader, despite what many of you believe.
That's why we don't have Yuko be in front of you, because I am a spike grader.
We know. Absolutely. We all know that. I grade with my heart, and my heart says give this a B+. So I'm giving you a B+.
All right.
Give him your A- or whatever you're going to give him and just move on. Nicest guy in the world.
Now he's going to give me a B+.
He's the nicest human being in the world. Hey, let's give him an A-.
The only thing worse than
he's breaking a Super Bowl record for receiving yards by a running back.
The only thing worse than my love of every prospect in college football coming into the draft is peer pressure. So you get a D-. So there we go. All set. Thank you, Pete. You talked me into it.
You do know I'm a spike grader, right?
Spike is smart.
Quickly, Brinson, what does this mean for McCaffrey's legacy? If he does, in fact, get this record.
Is that a serious question?
Yeah, I mean. one of the best?
He's the best back in the NFL.
Yeah, he's easily the best back in football.
And if he continues doing what he's doing, he's going to
Track. Yeah.
Yeah, not yet, he's not.
But he's on a track.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Who's the most important player on the offense for the 49ers?
I think it's Deebo Samuel.
I don't disagree.
That's ridiculous.
When he doesn't play, they lose.
That's ridiculous. When they didn't play Trent Williams, they lost because he didn't play in that game
either.
That
could be the answer as well.
No. The most important player for the 49ers is always the quarterback. Always the quarterback.
Okay.
But if he took the quarterback out of the equation, the most important player for the 49ers
Jake
is McCaffrey.
Moody. Okay. I was going to say.
Jake Moody
all day long.
Draft one and watch him yank the kicks all over the place.
Oh, man, he is missing pressure kicks.
Jake Moody, 99th overall pick out of Michigan.
Never draft a kicker either, by the way.
Okay. Listen, kids, they'll draft a kicker. All right, we're going to take another quick break when we come back. More bold predictions, and you know who's up next. Ryan Wilson. Right after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the Big Six Podcast. Look at that, the fountains at the Bellagio. We're right there at the base. There's the Sphere and Brock Purdy.
Yeah, like I said before, I'm starting my residency there on Friday in case anybody wants to buy tickets.
Pete is actually a magician, so look out for that.
My tickets
Vegas
are
this
more
week.
Expensive than Taylor Swift, so take that for what it's worth.
All right, Pete, that brings us to Through the Air, presented by United Airlines. Let's get to this. Which quarterback needs to do more to win the game? And I'm going to go right to my Pro Bowl prediction to get this thing started. We saw Brock Purdy there all over the Sphere. And I'm going to say that Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, Iowa State, throws for more yards than Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes has outthrown opposing quarterbacks in two or three Super Bowls. Didn't need that stat, Producer Debo, but thank you for that. But I think there's an opportunity where, and we talked about this, the Chiefs get up early, they may lean on the run game, and then Kyle Shanahan has to empty the playbook that involves Brock Purdy throwing passes all over the yard. Maybe Chris Jones gets three sacks as a result of that. Pete, I'll ask you first. How does this boldness strike you?
It's not that bold.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think it's that bold. I really don't.
It's
I think
not.
It's
okay.
Entirely possible. So from a bold standpoint, it's an F.
I mean, oh my goodness!
Seriously, seriously.
Why can't Brock Purdy throw for more yards? If particularly Pacheco has the type of game that I think he's going to have, I think it's a bad bold prediction.
You almost said a bad word there, didn't you?
No, it's a bad bold prediction, and I'm giving you an F.
Thank you. I earned
an F.
See, now this is beautiful because I get to spite grade you without giving you a worse grade than Pete did because you already got an F.
I mean, geez.
I'll give you a C minus. You're going to feel better about it.
I feel great about it.
Feel great about the C minus I'm giving you, and I'm giving you the C minus. Because I agree with Pete. I think it's possible that the Chiefs are just up for most of this game and the 49ers are playing catch up, and that results in Brock Purdy throwing the ball more. Plus, you think about the 49ers offense, they dump it off. They're not afraid to get it off in like short spaces to McCaffrey, to Debo, to Brandon Ayuk, these guys who to Kittle, these guys who pick up massive yards after the catch, and you pile up the yak, you don't have to throw it downfield. So I think it's a C minus.
Let me get in this fun fact before you crush me as well, Breach. The only time that Mahomes didn't outpace the quarterback he played in the Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts, who went for 304 versus Patrick's 182 last year.
Look at this graphic, by the way.
Passing yards this postseason, not available. All right, Breach, give me some good news.
All right, Wilson, let me start with Prisco's grade. I love that Prisco grades. If your bold prediction contradicts his bold prediction, he knocks your grade down.
Automatic.
That's new to the show. I love it.
That is a good plot twist.
So that is great.
Like, no, that doesn't go with mine.
F.
So, Wilson, if you would have added Purdy throws for more yards than Mahomes, but they both throw for under 230, something like that, I think I would have given it an A-.
Okay.
But instead, I'm going to give it a B because I do think there is some boldness here. I think both teams are going to try to run the ball. I like Pete's prediction, but I also think the 49ers are going to try and run the ball with Christian McCaffrey. I don't think we're going to see a quarterback go out there and throw for 400 yards.
No.
I think we're going to see lower numbers by both of them. So I do think there is some boldness here, Ryan.
Did you expect 304 from Jalen Hurts last year?
No.
Okay, so it could happen. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's not likely, but that's what the word bold means.
Purdy's had more passing yards in both the rounds so far in the playoffs than Mahomes. And now he might be throwing against a Mahomes team that has a lead against
him. It's not
sorry. I didn't hear Brent, so I went back and changed his grade to F minus. Okay. That was Through the Air presented by United Airlines. Let's hope this bowl prediction goes a little better than the last one, Breach, because that was not fun. All right, this one feels pretty good.
Okay. Please tell me you don't have a punting bowl prediction.
Oh, boy.
I do not. You're not
going to like this. Start over.
I do not.
Mitch Wishnowsky
will shank two.
Picks the Gatorade color.
It's a halftime show prediction.
He's a great punter.
Oh, no.
It's not. Usher's first song will be
a Taylor Swift cover.
Oh, that's
a good one. All right, there are at least as many turnovers as touchdowns in this game. Now that, my friends, is bold. And Pete, I was informed by research to ask you if you remember Super Bowl V, also known as the Blunder Bowl. The Colts beat the Cowboys 16-13.
It was horrible.
Do you remember how many turnovers were in that game?
If they had that game played now, everybody would turn it off. It was one of the worst games ever.
Do you know how many turnovers?
I liked
it. Think about the camera you look into.
Yeah, it was 11.
11.
Yeah. And then it was a bunch of field goals the whole game. It was terrible.
One of Breach's favorites.
He would have happened.
Hey, fun fact. Jim O'Brien kicked the game-winning field goal there. A rookie kicker.
He was a rookie. That's
and
right.
We have a rookie and kicker
this
year.
How did the rest of his career go after that kick?
I'm sure, you know what? If you kick a game-winning kick in the Super Bowl, it doesn't matter how the rest of his career goes.
Just like any other kicker. He flashed and he disappeared.
He won a Super Bowl. That's a story you tell the rest of your life.
Like Papa Breach. He flashed and he disappeared.
We're talking about Jim O'Brien 53 years later. My God, I hope my dad's not watching. Yeah. He's catching strays.
I'm kidding, Papa Breach. Yeah.
Talk about catching strays. I know.
Jim Breach.
Dallas had 10.
The all-time winning scorer for the Bengals, Frisco? What?
Your dad was a good kicker. This was a terrible game. I'm telling you. The narrative after that game was so bad, and people were criticizing the NFL. I'm telling you, it was a bad football game.
So, also, in addition to the 11 turnovers, Dallas had 10 penalties in that game. Not a lot of good football being played in Super Bowl V here. But again, at least as many turnovers in that game as touchdowns. And tell us about Super Bowl 54. How many interceptions were in that game?
There were four in that game.
The last time these two teams met up.
That's why I think it's possible that you'll see turnovers in this game. So I don't think that actually isn't – that's pretty good. I'm going to give you a B-plus for that one.
Amen, wow. Brother. That's what I'm talking about.
B-plus from Pete Briscoe in this
follow his lead, baby.
That's like an A-plus on a normal one. I will I'll give you a B.
Just out of spite. Okay.
Yeah, a B plus and a B. You mentioned the last one between these two. Four turnovers, six touchdowns.
Ooh.
So pretty high number. And there is just a fascination to this prediction because if you have five touchdowns total, five turnovers, I mean, that would be crazy. I'm going to give Wilson an A minus.
All right. I'll take
it. What? You know what's kind of funny?
I'll open up to a B plus.
You know what's kind of lost in all that? I gave your dad a stray, you know, and you quickly, I saw the leading scorer in Bengals history.
Right? Yeah, that is. In the chamber. He was
ready for Frisco to throw a stray. I'm always ready for anything Frisco
just
talks
like
about.
Breeze.
I mean, out of nowhere.
Flash and disappear.
Hey, Jim Breach, this side of the set loved you.
Friend of the podcast, Jim Breach.
And we apologize.
No, not friend of Frisco's.
Not friend of Pete Frisco's. All right. Ryan Wilson didn't do so hot in the bowl predictions. I think I came in last place. Pete, you may have come in first place. Congratulations on that.
I like my bowl.
Well, you don't come in first place, so your prediction hits at the game.
That's
I've
true.
Had a good run since we started this, though. You got to do
that.
Well, what if Frisco is handing out these Fs, and then one of the predictions he gave an F to ends up hitting?
That's the other
that
thing.
Means he gets the F.
That's right. I'll take the F if yours hits, okay?
All right.
Take the F.
We're going to take a quick break, though. When we come back, we're going to do some more blind rankings. Pete's favorite game when he comes on the podcast every week. We're going to rank our Super Bowls, and Pete's going to be the guest ranker right after this.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch's sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Pick 6 Podcast here at the Bellagio. Look at that. Super Bowl 58. There's the sphere. There's the Ferris wheel back there, and that's where Breach will be later tonight. Ooh. Having a margarita, if I had to guess.
Can you drink on the Ferris wheel?
They literally sell. There's bartenders on the Ferris wheel.
By the way, if you're checking us out for the first time on CBS Sports HQ, we are a year-round NFL podcast that delivers the goods from recaps to best bets to power rankings to emergency podcasts and more. Pick 6 NFL has you covered on YouTube. Just search NFL on CBS or your desired podcast.
What about the roller coaster? You're going to go on the roller coaster over there? Would you ever get on the one on top of the thing?
I like roller coasters.
No.
You're not a roller coaster guy?
Hell no. You know what my theory is on that.
I do not.
If Bobby Bolt-Tightner had a bad day, I'd go flying off into the sunset. And not happening.
And by the way, if Jim Breach is Bobby Bolt-Tightner, you're not.
He probably Beats wouldn't done. Tighten that bolt.
No, absolutely not.
If I'm flying off of anything at the in Vegas, it's the top balcony, the sphere, during a
oh, okay.
Wow.
I think that's a cry for help.
No, there's some concerns about that because of the inside.
We'll have that talk later on.
Let's save that for off-air, Brinson. All right, we're going to do blind rankings here. Pete, you're familiar with how this works. We're going to give you, in this case, favorite Super Bowls. You rank them 1 to 5, not knowing what's going to come next.
Okay.
And we'll grade whether you're good or bad at it. And okay. I already know my grade for you based on your grades for me.
Okay.
First up, Super Bowl, I don't know the number here, 2008 Super Bowl between the Giants and the Patriots. Giants won 17-14.
Super Bowl 42.
Thank you. 42. This player.
L is 50 minus 10 plus 2.
There you go. This player dropped passes all week leading up to the Super Bowl. Didn't really do a whole bunch that week into practice. Came in, had a touchdown in the Super Bowl, and then he had the Tyree helmet catch. Where do you rank that 1-5? That Super Bowl. The first time, by the way, the Giants beat the undefeated New England Patriots.
That game wasn't great.
What?
It wasn't a great game.
What are you talking about?
It's number 5.
Look, this is one of the...
It's a great play. The game was not a great game.
I actually would argue that Eli's scramble and through, like, ability to evade the pass rush is a better play than the catch.
I don't know what's going on that side of the table breach.
I don't know. I think I see some holding there.
That's number 5, by the way.
That is absolutely the...
That wasn't a great game. And believe me, you know, knowing Tom Coughlin as long as I knew him and covered him and everything, for him it was a big deal, and I like Tom, but let's be real, it was not a great game.
Well, I mean, I think it's like interesting to know that you could say this game was huge by the upset standards.
Like, 17-0 as a well-played game and an entertaining game, it was not that.
Pete is saying that the first 3.5 quarters weren't that exciting, and then all hell broke loose in the final 5 minutes.
It's a great game because it was a great upset.
Great.
But it wasn't like, if you're a Giants fan.
If you went for the greatest upset, it's number 1.
Yeah. And if you're a Giants fan, you're watching the game like, holy crap, we're going to beat the undefeated Patriots. It's maybe a great game, but like from a pure football playing perspective,
it wasn't
a great game.
Yeah. I loved it. I'm not a Giant. I don't have a dog.
Number 5.
I bet on the Patriots. So
all right, number 5. Brinson, you're up next. Give Petey his next Super Bowl to choose.
So this is, I think, this is your first one you covered, Pete. The Super Bowl 13, the 1979 Super Bowl. Steelers 33, Cowboys 31. I'm guessing we don't have highlights for this one, do we? Do we pull highlights for this one? No. Lynn Swann had a flying circus catch. Where do you rank that one?
That was actually a really good game.
We do have highlights.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
shout
here we
out
go.
To the producers here.
Look at this. And that was, I mean, Swan, Stallworth were amazing. That Steelers team was incredible. And the Cowboys actually hung around. Is that the, if I'm not mistaken, is that the Clint Longley game? Or is that the earlier one between them? I think it might have been the Clint Longley game.
By the way, Terry Bradshaw, like,
he had a cannon for an arm.
Unbelievable cannon. Because I went back when I do the Super Bowl rankings for every year, which I think I forgot to do already this year. But good reminder of that. But like when you watch those highlights of him throwing the ball, he had an absolute rocket.
And he had a hard time staying on the field. You remember, they benched him at one point. They put Terry Hanratty in at one point and Joe Gilliam in as well. But in this era with that arm, he would have been had a field day throwing a football.
But he also called his own plays, which, I mean.
Everybody did back then.
But he couldn't spell cat.
That was even Hollywood,
Henderson said that.
That's right.
I would give that one. I'd go number 4 for that one.
Oh,
I think there's going to be better ones.
You don't have to do reverse chronology.
I know. Right. I've done this game before.
He's done it all year.
He's an expert.
All right, Pete.
What do you got, Breach?
Next up is Super Bowl 34, a.k.a. the play where Kevin Dyson got tackled at the 1 yard line by Rams linebacker Mike Jones, falling 1 yard short in the Super Bowl.
And there was actually a big play before that down the sideline. Remember, for the touchdown, the go-ahead touchdown. That was actually a really good game. I'm going to go in order because I think you're going to give me 2 better ones. I'm going to go number 3.
Interesting.
Okay.
I remember watching the Super Bowl. I believe it was my freshman year at college because we're all at NC State and Torrey Holt was in this game. So we're all excited. You know, they had to pick teams to root for.
Wait a second. Which freshman year?
Well, I only had 1 freshman year.
Okay.
What do you think? He's like Rick Spielman who goes to the 8th grade 5 years in a row?
Well, I did that with
dominated.
Junior year 5 years in a row.
But, that was the Super Bowl. I was supposed to be covering that one as a beat guy because Jacksonville choked away that season.
They lost 3 games and they were all to the Titans.
Well, they had actually played in Atlanta that year because that Super Bowl was in Atlanta and they beat the Falcons and they all kept their shoes from that game because they thought they were going back.
Oh, my God.
That's a fun fact.
Yeah. That is a fun fact. Greatest show on turf offense. Like, hard not to love what they brought. I mean, like, they were ahead of their time.
They were great. It was fun to watch. The thing, they had the back who could do it all. They had the receivers who could do it all. And they had Kurt Warner, who was outstanding.
They had four Hall of Famers? It should be 6.
It's coming.
Willing them into the Hall of Fame, aren't you, Brinson?
Uh-huh.
What do you think?
I hope.
You hope Torrey gets in?
I don't know. I don't know.
I hope he does.
I do, too.
Yeah,
I think he should be in.
This year, yeah.
I love Torrey.
All right, Brinson. Pete seems to think he has 2 more great choices to choose from. This one might hurt his feelings, though.
Super Bowl 51, 2017. the Patriots and the Falcons. Pats 34, Falcons 28.
It's number one.
You think so?
It's number one. It's number one.
How is that more improbable than what? Because the whole game was entertaining.
Yeah.
This game was way more entertaining.
Way more. That's number one.
Because look, you have the factor of Tom Brady, like, back against the wall the entire game, the entire first half. He throws a pick six. Do you think his career with the Patriots might be done? It's Jimmy G time. And then you get this insane second half plus overtime, which we never had before. So, yeah, I think that's a good pick for number one. This is a top five Super Bowl of all time, easily.
I would agree with you. I think you have the Kyle Shanahan to bring some relevance to it, choking away by not taking three knees or running the ball and kicking the field goal.
Pete,
think about that.
Wait a second. What did you say? Kicking the field goal? Was that
special teams should never
kick
field goals.
They were up seven. You know, we've seen some coaches around these days that don't kick field goals, that should kick field goals.
I'm glad to see you turning around on field goals. Now you're a fan of them.
Weird,
just situational.
We have highlights of Chris Hassel's favorite game manager, Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That was terrible.
All right, Breach, you're a lame duck presenter here. What do you got?
Am I the last one? Here's what we got. We have the guarantee game.
Can we get it for you?
The Baltimore Colts.
Oh, you know it.
Losing to Joe Namath and the New York Jets. I guarantee it, Pete. You got to put it number two.
It's at number two, but, you know, you talk about the other game being in terms of what it meant. That's number one right there, and it's not even close.
There he is.
In terms of what it meant to the National Football League, that's number one. It definitely changed the outlook of the way people looked at the old AFL, and then they ended up having the merger. So,
but in terms of exciting game to watch,
it wasn't an exciting game.
So
exciting in large way because of when the Giants beat the Patriots. But this was supposed to be the most unbeatable team that you ever saw, the Colts. That's who they were. If I'm not mistaken, they were like 18-point favorites in that game or something.
Well, you know, and I feel like this actually has the same feeling as the Giants win over the
half.
Yeah.
The Patriots-Giants game is similar because one thing that actually made the game fun to watch or good to watch, at least with Patriots-Giants, is that you were glued to your TV thinking, I cannot believe the Giants are in this game because you thought the Patriots were going to blow them out. And I'm assuming that's what people thought watching Jets-Colts. How were the Jets leading?
He was glued to his fax.
His radio getting updates.
I was a giant AFL guy because they threw the ball around. I loved it. Even as a kid, I always loved throwing the football around. So I had an allegiance to the AFL a little bit. So I love that. I mean, I loved every bit of it. I was a kid. I was nine, I think. But I remember it, and I remember Joe Willie and the whole show. So from an impact on the league standpoint, but the games you just mentioned, by far and away, number one.
Okay.
But I'll put it at number two because I love it.
All right, you know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask these two guys to see if they know it. Because for me, the college, it doesn't fit. But Brinson, do you know where Joe Namath went to college?
Alabama.
Oh, that was an easy one. Do you know where Joe Namath is from?
Alabama?
No, he's from Pittsburgh.
Western PA. He's a Western PA guy.
Hey, by the way, he was a running quarterback at Alabama. Think about that. Joe Namath, and then he tore up his knees.
Yeah, that's
right. And if he hadn't torn up his knees, he would have been unreal.
Where did he end his career?
Rams.
He was sitting on the bench of the Rams. One of the saddest sights you'll ever see. All right, that's it. Blind ranking the Super Bowl, but we're not done yet, Petey, because you're going to blind rank Super Bowl halftime shows, which is your favorite part of every Super Bowl. You ready?
No, I'm not.
We definitely should have done Super Bowl halftime shows first.
We're not really doing blind ranking.
We're 100% doing Super Bowl halftime shows.
It's on the rundown.
We'll run through it.
When did the show become 2 hours?
We're going to rapid fire these.
It's nap time for Pete, in case you can't tell.
When we take a break, we're going to come back and rank AFL games.
So, Pete, you answer these quickly, and we'll get through them.
And then we're going to blind rank the best kickers in Super Bowl history, Pete.
Then we're going to blind rank all the casinos in Las Vegas.
Nope.
Are you ready?
Yep.
I think my Roman numeral math is right. If not, Brinson can correct me. This is 1993, Super Bowl 27. Does that sound
good
right?
Job.
Yep.
Michael Jackson halftime show.
For me, I'd probably go number one.
Oh, you're going to go number one already?
I think it's a mistake because
I don't, because I love Michael Jackson.
All right, Brinson, you're up.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this is a no boy moment. By the way, no one should read this.
Why did I get assigned this one?
This is yours.
I know where you're going. You're going with Jackson and Timberlake.
Yes. See how I got Pete to do it?
It's number four.
It's number five because it was very bad at
the moment. It's why YouTube got invented. It's the most iconic halftime moment of all time.
It's a moment, the show. You're talking about the whole show.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Breach, you're up,
settle down, you creep.
All right, here you go, Pete. My personal favorite, because I was at this game watching the Cincinnati Bengals
lose to the Rams.
Jim Breach's old team. Super Bowl 56 halftime show. Dr. Dre, Eminem, Kendrick Lamar, Mary J. Blige, Snoop Dogg, and 50 Cent.
I put that at number two because I already put there Michael Jackson. That was actually a really good show.
That was a great one.
Yeah,
I'm not a Super Bowl halftime show guy. That one.
That was good.
That was really good.
That was great.
All right. But
Michael Jackson, come on. They don't beat Michael Jackson.
No, Michael Jackson would be either one or two, but there's one out there that we're going to get to in a minute.
I don't know if it's on your list, that if it's out there, it would have been.
Does it involve rain?
From an emotional standpoint, it was incredible. But go ahead.
Next up, 2002 Super Bowl 36, U2.
That's the one.
Oh, really?
That's the one.
Oh, U2 was your favorite?
No, well, it's not the favorite show, but you remember that was right after 9/11.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they had a graphic behind them where they had all the names. And it was just, you could tell U2 was into it. That was incredible. Yeah. It was in New Orleans. I put it number one. And I like U2. I really do.
Yeah.
But not so much just for the music. It was a fantastic, fantastic moment to be around after 9/11.
By the way, obviously, Bono had the...
Bono's real name? Paul Houston. Fun fact for you.
Didn't know that.
It would be a more fun fact if we were in Houston or if Houston was in the Super Bowl.
I have to put it at three then because of my blind rankings. But I'd probably put it at number one.
See, this one the Breach is about to give you would be my number one.
Are we ready for this last one?
Yeah, we want the last one here.
This is what, slotting at five?
I feel like how this is, you're going to feel bad
about
this.
What's the slot in this left? Five?
This has to be five.
This is five. Jesus. Pete, you already lost here.
You have lost this round.
Super Bowl 41. The halftime show was
one of the halftime show.
Prince.
I blew it.
Yeah.
I blew it.
We need to cut that and just put it on Twitter. I blew it.
Prince was fantastic.
Prince, yeah.
So that was one of my favorite ones. I love Prince.
So the YouTube one was.
I probably still like Michael Jackson more than Prince.
That's fine, yeah.
And I'd probably go U2 at number two.
Prince 3.
And then.
Eminem 4. And then.
Yeah.
Jackson.
But yeah, what about the first halftime show? I didn't get
the marching band, right?
Yeah.
What was it? We Up With People.
Up With People.
There's like a really weird stretch of halftime shows where it was like themed. Like it was like, there may have been like a million.
When I went to Super Bowl 23 as a kid, Bengals 49ers, the halftime show was a magician and an Elvis impersonator.
Yeah, exactly.
This is not a joke, and I don't even know why I remember this.
I think one of the worst, and I'm going to put, because I like them as a band, but I thought they were awful when I saw them at the halftime show, was the Rolling Stones.
Oh, yeah?
They were not good at the halftime.
I will say this.
And I like them, by the way.
I don't know if you knew this, but our buddy Rick Spielman actually went to Prince's house to see Prince perform once in Minnesota.
That's amazing.
What?
Can you believe
that? Not in a million years could I imagine the Rube being at Prince's house. No way. Rube. No way.
All right.
Rick Spielman at Prince's house?
We're going to have an off-season podcast. We need the oral history of Spielman at Prince's house.
All right, that's a wrap for day one here for the Pick Six podcast on CBS Sports HQ. Great start. Pete, not so strong finish there. You messed up with the Prince.
Yeah, I would have Prince higher. I admit it.
So congratulations to me for winning the bowl predictions part. We'll revisit that after the Super Bowl, see how that went. For Pete Prisco, Will Brinson, John Breach, I'm Ryan Wilson. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.